Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13 is what we're looking at this morning as we continue our new year's series, Core Essentials, Transforming Habits for a New Year. The last time that I spoke, I talked about the importance of feasting on God's living word. And today we want to kind of give the counter perspective of the importance of breathing, life-giving prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. I'll go ahead and read that for us. And you can follow along from where you're sitting. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Will you bow your heads with me? Let's say a brief word of prayer together. We give you thanks, our Father, for the opportunity to gather once again this Sunday morning. We don't take it for granted. What a blessing. What a wonderful opportunity for us to gather as your people, as your body, as your community. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Susan Falsetta, who will be leaving for Turkey this coming Saturday on her mission trip. We pray that you would empower her. We pray for traveling mercies. We pray for divine appointments. An opportunity for the gospel to continue to go forth in that precious nation, Lord. So we commit her to you and the trip that she's about to undertake this coming weekend in Jesus' name. And so, Father, bless us as we think about prayer. Help us to be examined by your word. May you once again speak to us in the early part of this year as we humble ourselves before you and are hungry to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Missionary William Carey, father of missions, reminds us that prayer, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. Robertson McQuilkin, in his book, The Great Omission, writes, "A praying church is a victorious church. A prayerless church is a defeated church. Defeated even before the battle begins." I've had a love-hate relationship with prayer ever since growing up in my parents' church. The Korean church has always emphasized prayer, and even to this day, many, many Korean churches have early morning sunrise prayer meetings all throughout the week. And I remember having to be required to go as a youth pastor every morning to this early morning prayer meeting. I confess there are times where I was in deep meditation and a bit of snoring during those early morning prayers. Thankful that Trinity lets me sleep in a little bit during the week. God has brought many prayer warriors into my life, people, men and women, who have understood the importance of life giving and breathing prayer. And they have both been an encouragement and blessing to me, and also people that often I try to stay away from because I am reminded of how I need to grow in this area, and yet I often struggle so much in learning about the importance of personal prayer. There have been many seasons in my life where I've endeavored to be more fervent in my prayers, And whether it be trying to fast and pray for a week, and every time I closed my eyes, I kept on seeing McDonald's French fries, and I couldn't pray any longer, and I had to go to McDonald's. I was so hungry, and then had serious diarrhea for the week after. I remember praying for many people at youth retreats because it was an important thing to do, and praying with all my heart for different students, praying for Mary and all the things that she is going through, and her tapping me on the shoulder, "My name is not Mary, it's Jane." I'm like, "Oh, forgive me." There are times where I have experienced great blessing in growing in my prayer life, and also been very, very discouraged at how little progress that I've made. And I think in this beginning part of the year, it is such an important thing for us to think about in terms of where we at in our secret prayer lives. And like you, and like myself, I'm pretty certain it is a great challenge and struggle for us all. This morning we begin with the Lord's Prayer that has been given to us. We easily could spend months looking at Jesus' prayer. And we often think of it as something to be memorized and quoted during a service, or something to say when we're not sure how to pray. And I think those are great things. But remember that this prayer was given, and we're going to look at three things this morning. The model of prayer is simplicity. Secondly, the spirit of prayer is persistence. And thirdly, the answer of prayer is always promised. Jesus, in being asked about how the disciples themselves wondering, how do we pray? How do we learn? How do we grow in this area? Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer. And here in the Gospel of Luke, we've just read it together. And then we often forget that it was given in response to the question, how do we pray? How do we learn to develop this prayer life? The disciples obviously saw that Jesus, their Lord and King, their teacher, their rabbi, they would observe him running off early in the morning or through the night in prayer. Jesus, who was the Son of God himself, was absolutely committed and dedicated to daily prayer with his Heavenly Father. The disciples noticed that, knowing he was the Son of God, seeing great demonstration of his power to heal and resurrect the dead and to teach as the Son of God. And yet, why is it that he would have to get away for times to be replenished, to hear from his Father? They saw his prayer life, and they were moved, and they asked, how can we pray? And rather than giving a deep theological treatise or challenging them or discouraging them, he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And I think, if anything, we are reminded that the model of prayer is one of simplicity. Just like when a child needs something, they ask with faith, with boldness, with the heart of a simple child, as my James did this morning, "Daddy, I want some Milky now." By the third or fourth time, as I was busily trying to get ready this morning, I got him his Milky. Because when a child wants his Milky, you got to give it to him. And it's that kind of simple request to one's father that we can begin to understand what Jesus is trying to communicate in terms of the simplicity of prayer. Our Abba Father, Pater in Greek, Abba in Aramaic, the simple term for daddy. And often we forget, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, that the genius and the secret is in its absolute simplicity. Let your kingdom come. May your name be praised. And give us today our daily bread. Help us to be provided for in our needs. You'll provide, Lord. Forgive us our sins. Simple prayer. And yet, as we see how simple it is, why is it that we struggle so often? Pastor John Piper reminds us that if you believe in the kingship of your Heavenly Father, you do not need to be anxious about anything. But why is it, as we sit here this morning, that our hearts are so weighed down and heavy of all the anxious thoughts that the Bible tells us literally sucks our life away. If we believe that Jesus is truly King and our Heavenly Father rules over all, and we are His children by His grace and by faith, why can't we, like a little child, give me my Milky Daddy? You truly do not need to be anxious about anything. And yet we worry away, we fret. We're paralyzed by fear as we think about the future and our overwhelming needs today. And yet, the secret of this Christian life, the power of prayer is in its simplicity. And yet, we don't do it enough, do we? Even little child can learn the power of prayer because it is a child communicating with the Father that loves them. The model of prayer is one of simplicity. That was the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. Surely we could go very deep as well theologically what it's all about, but I believe that's the heart of it. But secondly, though, we see here a story that Jesus gives to illustrate for us the spirit of prayer, which is one of persistence. Here we have a story of a friend who, in the dead of midnight, and back then midnight was like our 3 a.m. It was the bewitching hour. It was the spooky hour. I mean, nothing happened at midnight in a culture without electricity. And to hear this door bang in the middle of the night, my goodness, who is this crazy person knocking on the door? Friend, I'm hungry. Give me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey and I has arrived. I have nothing to set before him. That would be a disaster. That would be a shame in a culture where hospitality is very important. And he will answer, don't bother me. We're already out for the night. Children are down. I'm sleeping. I cannot get up and give you anything. And notice what Jesus says here. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, even someone that he knows, even if it's a loved one, I'm out for the night. And do we want to lose our beauty sleep at night once we're down? Don't bother me. But the banging continues on the door. And the only reason why the door opens is because of this, we can also understand, is persistence. Not because he's his friend or someone he recognizes or a neighbor or a loved one, but because of that incessant knocking, the door gets opened. And he will rise, and Jesus says, and give him whatever he needs. Take whatever you want. You want bread, you want chicken, you want rice, you want steak. Take it all. Just stop bothering me and breaking down my door. And Jesus says this to show us that when we think about prayer, persistence is key. Some of us get confused and say, does God not want to bless us? And why can't we just ask once and then that's it? Why is he playing games with us? Well, that's not the point. When Jesus is using this perfect tense of keep asking, keep knocking, keep praying, don't give up, it shows the heart of faith, does it not? And it shows a heart of love. When your significant other wanted to put a ring on your finger, you wanted to be pursued, did you not? How boring would it be if literally just one quick date and then that's it. Maybe that's the way it happened for you. But this pursuit, this persistence, will you marry me? I think shows that kind of heart of how badly and how precious this person wanted to be married to you. And I believe that God is trying to show us that in this relationship, that persistence shows faith and shows love for the Father. And so often, we pursue with passion the things that we care about. The things that you are interested in, you pursue passionately. But often, if we're very honest when it comes to the things of God in our secret lives, especially regarding prayer, our pursuit often has much to be desired. Jesus says, keep knocking, keep asking, keep pursuing. John Wesley, who spent 2 hours daily in prayer, summed it up where he says, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. And I may have read this earlier, but this is a great challenge by John Ortberg. Desperate people pray. They pray without thinking about it. They pray even if they are not sure who they're praying to or if anyone out there is listening. People in foxholes pray. So do people who go through divorce, have children that run away, or hear from a doctor that the lab results say the growth is malignant. When we reach the limit of our resources, we pray instinctively, reflexively, like the way a man lacking oxygen gasps for breath, and the way a man who is falling reaches out for something to grab, lest they die. Desperate people pray. Missionary Judson, who served Burma for 40 years as America's missionary to Burma, understood this, and only through a committed life of secret prayer did he see Burma reached with the gospel. He was rumored to have prayed 7 times a day, at dawn, at 9 in the morning, at noon, at 3, 6, 9, and midnight. When you read the prayer journals of those that have breathed life-giving prayer as part of their daily life, they never had this fatalistic mindset that everything is fixed and predetermined and whatever's going to happen, happen, and I'll just leave it in God's hands. No. They believed that their prayers would be heard by God and used by God to set the course of many lives and our world for the greater purposes of Christ. We are working with God, Richard Foster says, to determine the future through our prayers. We are to change the world by prayer because of the one who we pray to. To be honest, we fall into that fatalism, predeterminism, everything is all set. But those that breathe life-giving prayer always had a faith and believed that God would hear and answer their prayers, and the world could be changed, and people's lives could take a whole different course when it is lifted to our Father in prayer. Why is it then that we pray so little in our lives? What a challenge. Thirdly, the answer of prayer is always promised. Jesus ends his story, as we've read, that I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give instead of a fish a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, our James has been asking for hard-boiled eggs 3 times a day, so this really relates to me here, will give him a scorpion. If you then, and Jesus knows us well, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. We forget the heart of our Father when we think about prayer. As we prepare for our children and family ministries pastor candidate to join us the first weekend of March, while Austin was preaching last Sunday, for the first time I visited every single Sunday school classroom for our children, Tyke's time in the nursery, to get a picture of what's happening, and just realizing, especially after visiting Winter Jam for our children, how important children's ministry is now, and especially as we continue to move to our future and to our vision. Kathy and I were waiting for Winter Jam to happen because our kids have struggled a little bit, still adjusting from our previous church in Chicagoland, and we've been telling them from last year about Winter Jam, and we couldn't wait for our kids to go and be thrilled and get blessed by God and get to know the other children here at Trinity. Jonathan was all on board after a little coaxing, but our Ella, she gets a little bit anxious in new contexts and new situations, new environment, new people. And it's something that we've been concerned about. And she vomited Friday night. She said she was sick, and we didn't push it. We said, just stay home. And literally the vans were waiting. It was kind of embarrassing, and I'm a little embarrassed to share it. But we went home as the vans drove off from the parking lot of our church Friday afternoon. Saturday morning rolled around. We said, Ella, please, Mom and Daddy will drive you. We'll go up with you. You make your choice if you don't want to stay, but will you at least be willing to go? It's a great opportunity. Please. And so we grabbed her and her stuff, and James and Kathy and I drove up, and she was having a hard time. And as we had lunch and the afternoon session happened, she wanted to go home. So I really struggled as a dad. Do I put my foot down and say, no, you're staying, or all right, honey, it's fine? But in my gut, I felt I had to be a little strong. And so I said, you need to stay. And as she tried to get back in the car, I actually drove off. I know I may get some emails from some of you, but let me finish the story. Kathy was in tears. It was very emotional for us, for our daughter, who gets very anxious in these kind of new settings. And I said, it's going to be fine, honey. Let's just trust God. But in my mind and heart, I'm waiting for the text from one of the chaperones, come get Ella. And I'm like, oh, no. But I was trying to act cool, and God's going to work, and it'll be fine, honey. As Kathy was very emotional, and as we're driving back on 91 South, heading back to the Hartford area, we weren't sure if we made the right decision. And then we got a text from Michelle Lane and from Bonnie that Ella is doing fine. And she's joyful to hear, volunteering for the games and connecting with the other girls, and we were just sure of that. And as we were driving, God spoke to me and said, Peter, you who are evil, yes, that's me, Lord, you want the best for your kids, do you not? That's why you want so much for Ella to go to Winter Jam and hear God's word and worship and make friends with the Trinity kids. God said, I am the same with you. I want nothing but the best because I love you and I'm your daddy. And yet sometimes we fight against him, not knowing and fully understanding the blessings, the joy, the relationship, and the love that God wants to pour into our lives because he is our Father and we are his children. God spoke to me very powerfully that prayer is the way by which we experience the Father's love and are reminded of the heart of the gospel, which is a love relationship with him through Jesus Christ. How he desires to pour out his love and the glories of heaven upon us, wants the best, just like we want for our loved ones in our lives. And Jesus is trying to help us understand that of why we should not give up in prayer, to be persistent. Don't give up on God, because he never gives up on us. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep on banging on the door of heaven in prayer, because it shows our faith and it shows our love. Amen. Four quick things as we draw to an end of our time before communion. Why is this a core essential? Because prayer keeps us dependent and connected to God alone. As good as your spouse or child or best friend is in your life, he or she will never be able to be the kind of soulmate that our culture often talks about, or best friend or companion, or whatever you want to describe it, and whatever it is in your life. A sinful human being can never take the place of a holy, loving, merciful, powerful God. And it's through prayer that we realize that I cannot get all that I'm longing for in the human relationships in my life. I must get that from God first. Prayer reminds us that we need to connect and be dependent upon him alone. And as we find that contentment and acceptance and love, we are able then to turn around as we are filled and renewed to love deeply those that God has brought into our lives with his love and his power. Secondly, prayer is so powerful because it allows God to do the work, not us. We are all such busybodies. We love to do things. Even as Pastor Austin talked about last Sunday, of that challenge of discipleship, of being and doing, and we all fall into that, do we not? In a purely physical, objective way, prayer is foolishness. I like to pray in the mornings upstairs in one of our empty rooms. And James or Jonathan, sometimes they're morning boys, they wake up and they say, "Daddy, what are you doing?" Because I like to pray sitting on the floor, sometimes with the blanket wrapped around me and pouring out my heart before God. And especially James, he just understands, "Daddy, what are you doing?" I'm just sitting there and I'm not even moving, and he's trying to check if I'm even breathing. Like, "Daddy, what are you doing? Is he alive?" To just sit there physically and not be doing something and being busy, it doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. But when we begin to understand that as we lift up our anxieties, our concerns, our cares, and as we meet with him, God begins to work and move through that surrendered heart, through our faith, and through that prayer. That's why prayer is so important in our daily lives. It reminds us that God does the work, not us. Why is it that we pray so little? And thirdly, it transforms our hearts. It's not just about doing or asking for God's blessing and, "Lord, provide this and that, and I'm struggling in this area, my health is like this, and financially it's like that." And those are real needs, and we need to lift them up in prayer. But more than that, God wants you. He wants your heart. Just like with someone you're in love with, you want to spend time with. That's what God wants. And as the Holy Spirit begins to move and work and dwell in that time of prayer, and as we look at God's word, our hearts change. We begin to be in a posture of surrender. We begin to repent of the things we shouldn't do and the things that we should do and we're not doing enough of. We begin to realize that we have broken God's heart, and we say, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me." Our hearts begin to change and soften, and often we are the very answer to the prayer request that we are lifting up, that God changes us to be the ones that answer the call. He changes us. And fourthly and finally, prayer connects our hearts as believers together in a kind of unity that nothing else can do. We can have workshops, we can have great meals together, we can do all sorts of exercises, and I remember as a youth pastor taking kids on the ropes course and trust fall and all the great things, and I love all those things. But there's something special, something powerful that happens when God's people gather corporately and the Spirit of God comes as we cry out to Him in desperation. We become united in a way that nothing else can do, like uniting through the power of prayer. I realize, and I've been told, that Trinity has people that are praying people, and I truly believe that. But in this new year, I also want us to grow in our corporate prayer lives together, as well as in your private prayers alone between you and God. And we will develop and put together a quarterly time of worship and prayer, and the dates will get out pretty soon, that we can together connect and join our hearts together as a community that is desperate for God together. How do we pray then? Begin slowly. Don't try to read a book like E.M. Bounds, Power Through Prayer, and spend the next 8 hours alone in your room praying to God. I guarantee you, you'll be sleeping sound by the first hour. You'll be so discouraged you may never want to pray again. Begin slowly. Could you commit 10 minutes a day reading God's Word and lifting your hearts to God? 10 minutes. Begin there. Learn to listen. Just like we have friends that sometimes talk too much, we wish they would listen to us. Take time to be still in His presence. He speaks. Learn to listen. Choose a sacred space and time, wherever that might be for you. I remember as I was praying about my future, the summer of 1979, when my parents sent me to Korea, I stumbled across a tiny little attic space that was converted to a prayer room in my uncle's building, of which my grandmother spent many, many an hour a day in prayer for her children, grandchildren, church, and for missions all over the world. I began to get on my knees and spend time in that sacred space. And that summer, I heard God's voice saying, "You're going to be a pastor." And my life was never the same again. Find people that you can pray with, because those are the best friends you could have. We often do it alone, and it is hard. When we can find friends in a community that together we are encouraged in prayer, there is nothing more encouraging and powerful when God's people gather together and pray. What an important essential, a core essential of this new year that all of us, we struggle with. There are days where I miss out on my prayer time. I don't want to paint a more holy picture than I really am at. It is a deep struggle to have daily prayer. But as we struggle together to learn how to pray, may we learn to listen, to surrender, and to pray humbly before a God who loves us much more than we are aware of or understand. With that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that you know all things, and you know, Lord, the things that bring great anxiety and stress and sadness and anger in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and teach us about the resources and the person that we have, who desires to pour out the glories of the kingdom of heaven into our lives. through the power of prayer. And as we realize, Lord, that's an area that we all struggle with and want to grow, I pray, Father, that you encourage our hearts by the things that we've heard today to develop this secret life of prayer and here at Trinity, a stronger corporate life of prayer, that we can see you work in ways that we long to see when the Spirit of God comes and works. And so, Father, we invite your presence here again. Help us not leave beaten down and guilty about the lack of prayer in our lives, but rather, help us to be encouraged, to strive, to be persistent, and grow in this area, that we would take hold of all that you have for your children as we learn to be persistent in prayer and not give up. Amen.